Now Probert's loose got the right hand.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky, some user Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! Their goal regulation size are what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies, I'm here with Sam Burns, the owner of Hairless Ape Conspiracy, the best goddamn shirt I've ever worn in my life. Sam, how you doing?
Oh, great, how are you?
I'm good, man, I'm good. Just spent the afternoon out hiking with the kids, trying to live that Hairless Ape life, man, trying to feed off the inspiration you guys put out on the website and get shit done.
Appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah, it's you got one life, man. You got to get out there and do stuff with it. You know, it's technology and stuff that we have in our lives now is great, and it makes a lot of life a lot easier, I think, for a lot of people. But I think it also makes it a lot easier for them to not do much and kind of live that cyber life, that second life thing.
Yeah,
and they kind of forget about their first, you know, the life that doesn't revolve around a screen, you know.
Yeah, man, for sure. There's got to be that happy medium. Like, yeah, you can use the GPS to get you out to the woods, but maybe try to get lost once you're out there.
Exactly. You know, half the fun of, for me anyway, has been kind of doing stuff that isn't known, isn't plotted out, and just kind of seeing where things take you. You know, I hear friends of mine that they talk about their kids and all the different activities you got them in. It's like, man, this kid's got like a dude. One of my buddies talks about a schedule. He's got his kid on. He's got this. He pulls out this gigantic ledger type thing. He's got this kid's time scheduled from like 6 a.m. to like 8 p.m. Like, when does he get to be a kid, man?
Oh yeah, for
sure. You don't have to have a GPS coordinate on everything you do. You don't have to have every second of your time scheduled.
Yeah, I tell my oldest, man, I'm like, hey, I'm like, yeah, go out on your bicycle, go ride it. He's like on the street, like out. I'm like, yes, go. I'm like, get the hell out of here. He's like, it's are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine, dude.
It's gonna take me 17 minutes to put on all my protective gear.
Yeah, I'm like, it'll be okay, man. It's not Fortnite. There's not gonna be a circle that closes in on you out there. You'll be okay. But yeah, to feel bad for some kids, man, their itinerary is so packed, like you said. It's like, dude, just let them go, like, sit in the grass.
Yeah, exactly. When do they get a chance to be a kid? When do they get a chance to kind of discover themselves? You know, I know that I have memories as a child of, you know, just, like you said, kind of in the woods, and it might have been the woods. It might have been the little strip of you know, scrubby crap that was growed around some irrigation ditch or something behind the house or in between a couple of subdivisions or whatever. But those memories were important to me. I still have them today as a 43-year-old man. And at the time, you know, I was Arnold Schwarzenegger beating the brush in Predator or something. You know what I'm saying? It's a memory. You know, I was somewhere else. You know, and I have these great memories of it. And you know, a lot of these kids today don't have that. They have a schedule. They have a lot of acquaintances through their different events and stuff. But the other thing I see is I see a lot of really weak little boys.
And yeah, dude.
Really, really, really strong little girls.
Yep.
It's almost like a gender reversal. You know, and my thing is, you know, I think we should make them all strong. I think they should all be ass kickers and life takers, because the world's going to kick them in the ass.
Absolutely.
If you know, the world's not getting nicer. No matter how no matter how much social media memes we put out there about, oh, let's just all get along and stuff. That's great, man. But it ain't like that.
No, it is not.
It just isn't. We're a first world country. We're a first world country, and everybody that wants to get us is, you know, second and third. They're worried about clean water.
You know, right.
They're worried about if their rifle's clean.
Right.
They're not worried about pumpkin spice lattes and Ugg boots and shit like that.
Yeah, not worried if their iPhone's charged or not. Exactly. Well, that's the one thing.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dude. I still fucking rock the flip phone, man. I'm old school. I try to keep it real that way. I've got fucking technology, but I mean, as much as I can, I'm like, no, you actually have to physically phone call me, dude. I don't even have texting. What are we talking about here? But I mean, that's one of the great things about Hairless Ape Conspiracy. Like, not you guys aren't just a t-shirt company putting out great shirts, but you also have, you know, a library of information on the website to benefit people that, you know, want to expand their mind and test their bodies. And, you know, that's not anything you're not seeing Nike or anybody do that. They might have a quirky commercial, but you guys got like, okay, read this book, see how it makes you feel.
Exactly. With life being how and what it is nowadays with Jimmy's, you know, 13 things he's got to do on Sunday and everything that goes around in people's lives right now, we thought that it would be a good idea to put out, you know, I think we call it the toolbox, you know, some different books. And the thing, the reason it's books and not just websites or this, that, you have to physically go get a book. You have to sit down and open that book. You have to hold it. You have to touch it. You have to take time. You know, oh, I'll just check it out on my phone, or I'll just, you know, I'll put it on my iPad or something like that. No, you have to, if you read a book, you have to read a book. You have to make the time. You have to carry it with you. You know, it's a sort of ritual of sorts. It's a ritual of sorts, I guess.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the books can be, you know, one of my squad leaders in the Army told me this, is, you know, books are instant experience. You don't get to physically do it, but you get to read about somebody that did, and you can process that. And while you didn't have the firsthand experience, you've made that wrinkle into your brain. You understand that whatever you read about is a thing and it is possible. And now if it comes up, you might be better prepared, or you might be driven to go find it or do it. And that's kind of the reason. A lot of people just don't take any time for themselves. They get caught up in the daily grind, and you know, they start getting weaker in the head. If you don't work out your body, you get weak. If you don't exercise your mind, you get weak. If you don't think and think often, you're going to stop. That's kind of our way of looking at it. And the toolbox, the books, we'll be putting out a kind of beginner intermediate and beginner and intermediate, like 7 day a week training plan.
Oh, nice.
That'll kind of go across the board. Yeah, that's coming up real soon. I think that especially the male of the species is just sometimes confused, sometimes lost, sometimes doesn't have any guideposts or any waypoints on their GPS, if you will. And that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to get people. Not everybody's lost, and we understand that. Some people just don't know how. And there are people that are lost and want to stay lost. There are people that just never knew how to do it. You know, but you have to embrace your life, and you gotta kind of try and take it back. You know, men should be men, women should be women. And I'm not talking about a sexuality thing. I'm talking about a strength thing.
You know,
everybody needs to be strong. Everybody needs to be able to take care of themselves and take care of their family. And you know, if you don't have that drive, man, I just don't know how to talk to you. You know, it's I think it's on Fight Club when Tyler Durden says, you know, fuck the pandas. I don't give a shit about something that can't fuck to keep itself in existence.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that book and that movie is just loaded with classic lines just like that. You're like, oh my God, that's brilliant, dude.
And the movie is a the book is even better. It really is, and it's a short read. I think we've got that on there. It's a short read. It's something you can. A lot of these books aren't novels that we put out there. They're something you can throw in your computer bag, throw in your briefcase. Some of them you can throw in your cargo pocket of your hiking shorts or your pants, and just keep it with you. You know, and just read a couple of pages a day. You do one push up a day. You read one page a day. You know, take one shot a day of downrange, not of whiskey. you do one overhead press a day. You know, you're going to get better. If you do that one today and then you add one, you know, your money ahead, it's one more step down the road. And that's what we're trying to remind people of. And we're also, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that I think need an outlet. That's kind of why I started this. You know, I'm an Army vet and 20-something years in law enforcement now. I see how weak the world's gotten. I see how weak some of the world's gotten. Yeah. I see how vicious and strong the other part of the world is still getting. And some of these kids, I kind of go back. I talk about kids a lot because I just feel like we do them such a disservice with this. Everybody gets a trophy thing, and we don't have any winners and losers here. No, we have a fucking winner and loser in everything. And, you know, kids... Yeah, and some of the adults that I now deal with through HAC, through my work, through jiu-jitsu, you know, they are those products of the everybody gets a trophy thing. And, you know, you can't just talk to them like normal folks. Mm-hmm. You know, they take, you know, words hurt them and cut them so deeply, and they just don't understand. And it's because they didn't have those small defeats when they were kids. You know, everything has to be stair-stepped with people. Training, you know, raising a person just like training a dog, man. You can't just you can't expect them to be perfect. You have to you make things harder as you go along. The corrections get more severe as you go along. With an adult, you know, first it's we didn't win the trophy at the ball game. To your high school prom date, you know, you caught her making out with your best friend in the locker room. To you lost your job at 30, to you're getting divorced at 40. You know, the small failures we have in the beginning of our life set us up and prepare us for the larger ones later on down the road when shit's even, you know, more dire. The older you get, the more severe failures are because why? You have less time to make them right again.
Yeah.
You know, something that broke you down when you're 10 or 12. You know, is going to help you deal with the thing that's going to break you down when you're 48 years old, you're 2 years from retirement, and your significant other leaves you, or you lose your job, or you have a traumatic amputation, or you get cancer. You know, people that are prepared can deal with those things. People that have never had those small failures, that's when the wheels come off, and they can't ever get right. You know, and so. What were we talking about again?
No, I mean, it's a common theme, Sam, that I've had with guys like yourself on here. I mean, just last week I had Gunnery Sergeant Ralph DeCubic, who just won a gold medal after getting his legs blown off in Afghanistan. And he says the same thing. I mean, all you successful guys that I've had on here and spoke to see this in the youth of you know, in particular our country, because that's what we're dealing with here. And they're going, man, these kids... They don't fucking lose. So how are you supposed to win? So I always tell my oldest son, I go, listen, dude, you know, because his teachers will tell him, you know, winning isn't everything. I'm like, no, winning's not everything, but it's important. And I said, and you'll know that once you lose. I said, if you lose that, I mean, it sucks. You don't want to do it again. And if you don't want to do it again, that's something you have to fix.
Correct. Yeah. We never teach them how to lose, and then when they do lose, it's some sort of life altering thing where, you know, they might have something that they absolutely love to do, and then they walk away from it,
right?
Because they don't know, you know, they don't know the process, they don't know how to deal, they don't know how to, you know, and it's a grieving process. They don't know how to do the 4 or 5 steps of grieving with that loss to figure out, you know, whether how they're going to go forward, what they're going to do, or. Or it becomes something that's so painful and traumatic, they just don't ever want to feel that again. So, well, you know what? If I never do it again, I never have to feel this again. If I don't, you know, if I don't play, I can't lose.
Right.
They either move on to something else, or they just don't deal with it ever at all. You know, and then you got a 25 or a 30 year old that is on a couch somewhere,
fucking overweight, living in the basement,
probably.
Yeah, fucking eating Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're just like, dude.
Yeah, and with never any real, with no initiative or no interest in getting out of there. It's not that, and that's one of the things I can't understand. You know, I tell some of my guys that you know, 30's a lot younger than it used to be.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Meaning, I was fucking 30 years old, and I had, you know, I was getting ready to crest a decade in my career, and had done all sorts of shit and was still doing shit. These guys have yet to get fucking started.
Yeah.
They're still, you know, they're still living at home. They're still doing not much. They're still working at, you know, whatever, you know, delivering pizzas or whatever.
Dude,
I can't get over how many aged pizza delivery people we have in this country anymore.
Dude, I've got buddies of mine. I've got buddies of mine. I'm 31 that have roommates. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? We're 31, dude. Like, at least get an apartment by yourself. What the fuck is happening here? Like, you got to be kidding. What are you guys fucking? Yeah, you guys are playing NHL 219 and like in your living room at night. Like, it's just like it drives me. It's like I had goals. I was like, man, I want to own a house by I'm 30. You know, I want to do this. I knocked them all down one by one, man. And that's something.
And you're setting up new ones, right?
Absolutely,
You're not satisfied. You're not going, okay, I'm 30. I'm quitting.
No.
You achieve, and see, but that's the thing. That's the thing they don't have.
Next page, yeah, man. That's where I'm at.
Think about the stuff. Right. But think about how you felt when you signed. You know, when you signed that final signature on those 37 pieces of paper that,
oh my God,
you know, initial to buy your house.
Oh,
right?
My God. How good did you feel? I wish it was 37. It's like 900.
Yeah. I haven't bought a house in almost 20 years.
I couldn't believe the pieces of paper, dude. I was like, man, we could have built a house with all these pieces of paper, man.
Exactly. They don't understand that. They don't understand that feeling of success. You know why? Because they've never had any. You know, it's when you talk about success with somebody, or you talk about winning, you talk about victory. No matter what in whatever venue, it's a lot like trying to tell somebody how something tastes without them ever knowing it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. How do you explain what chicken tastes like if nobody's ever had chicken?
Exactly.
You
know what I mean? Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, exactly. They don't understand why it's important to have goals, why it's important to knock goals down, because they've never fucking had.
Yeah.
Any, you know what I mean? And they're okay with that.
That's what's scary.
Probably so. Yeah, they're probably so traumatized by something, or so put off, or so scared. And that's we got a fucking country of men that are scared about everything and fucking say sorry every other fucking sentence.
Oh, it's
like, shut up with the fucking sorry, man.
I'm at a point now. I just won't say I'm sorry. Even if I'm sorry, I'm not saying it anymore.
You don't have to, because you know the guy on your left and your right will say it 8 more times for you.
Exactly, dude. Well,
they're so apologetic, and they don't even know what they're apologizing for. They're just like, you know, they were told by mommy or daddy or granny or whatever, whoever raised this, you know, poor fucking stack of shit, that, oh, you know, that's what we say. And, you know, so it's not even, it doesn't even have any meaning behind it. It's just a ritual thing that they go through saying. It's like, you know, when somebody, you know, walks by, when people used to talk on the street and they say, hey, morning or nice day or whatever, and you respond with whatever autonomic response in kind.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing. It doesn't have any meaning behind it. They're just, you know, they're trying to say something that'll get either the focus off of them or make you not mad at them.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's just, I mean, if you're really sorry about something, say it. But just to say, like, I've had arguments with my wife. She doesn't listen, thank God, so she won't hear this. But where I'll go, do you want me, like, I'll say, do you want me to just say I'm sorry, even though I don't mean it? Because I can do that. You know, I mean, as much of a dick that makes me, I mean, I can, if that's what you want, tell me that's what you want. I'll do it. I said, let's move fucking forward. Let's get this shit going. The complacency for mediocrity is insane.
Oh yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It's just, you know, good enough is always okay.
And every person that every self-made person I've talked to that's doing well, you know, had some kind of struggle and sees a problem with the way the youth is coming up. That raises the flag right there. Like, oh shit, something's happening. If you would have told me in third grade, hey, we're not keeping score, I'd have said, fuck you. I mean, I'm keeping score on the field. I said, I'll tell you who won after this game then.
Right.
You get that shit out of my face.
Exactly.
And me, a dude, yeah. my buddy, Flat Earth Madia, we'll crumble up pieces of paper to throw in the trash can. And I'm trying to block him or fucking throw something at him. So, like, that's, just, I mean, that even that simple task of, oh, you suck, you can't throw that in there. Like, just that kind of, I mean, like, because you don't want to be the beta around the factory. You're like, oh, you're the fucking dude that can't throw a piece of paper. And you're like, oh, shit, dude. Like, that kind of competition, I fucking love it, man. It makes you feel good.
Right.
And it's going to be scary to see what happens.
Oh, you got a lot of men, or males.
Males, yeah.
That, they don't understand. They've never done anything for them on their own laurels or on their own two feet. But by God, they can recite to you everything some other dude did that was a professional athlete.
Yeah,
and they live. You know, that's their version of man, but they live vicariously through these other men and their exploits and achievements. But it's like, and if you like sports, if you like watching, you know, football, hockey, basketball, that's cool. Everybody needs a pastime. Everybody needs some way to decompress, and that's what the fuck sports are. That's right. I mean, for me, that's what jiu-jitsu is. That's what lifting is. That's what, you know, hitting the heavy bag is. That's my release. I really like to do it, and I'm really good at this stuff. But at the end of the day, I do it when I'm not teaching and I'm doing it for me. It's a way for me to just, you know, kind of let the pressure out, you know, hit the release valve a little bit.
I mean, we got a heavy bag in our basement here, and I tell the wife, I'm like, just go down and do 100 left hand and 100 right hand. I said, you're going to feel better. So just go fucking hit the thing. I mean, dude, I swear to God, you hit that thing, even if you did it 50 times a day, did 25 on one hand, and you're gonna want to do more. And you'll feel better.
Right.
You'll just feel better.
You're going to feel better. It's like, you know, when some people, you know, I myself am not a runner. I can run, but I don't like to run. I always feel better afterwards. Part of that is because I accomplished it. Part of it is because it's over. But whenever you do stuff like that, your body needs to be active. Your body needs to do something physical. We live in a world where the very little shit we do is a physical thing. You and I aren't out dropping logs to build the goddamn neighbor's house. You know, you're going to the factory, I'm going to watch idiots, and we have a day where if we didn't want to, we could not do anything physical. And there's people that are worse off than us that are in a cubicle that, you know, they work their digits all day long and run their mouth all day long, but they don't do anything with their ass. If you don't use your body's going to just kind of leave you. You're going to have bones and flab and that's it. And the people that have never, we go back to the way a thing takes. Some people have never had that. You know, they've never been, you know, they've never been at super athletic. They've never been on, you know, doing any into anything kind of physical. But once you get them doing something, it becomes addictive. You know, it becomes something that they crave. That, you know, hitting that heavy bag in the basement. You know, starting off with a 10-minute walk every night. You know, there's this huge push in some of the lifting circles. You know, the 10-minute walk, the 10-minute walk, the 10-minute walk, and just getting out and breathing. You know, fresh air, depending on where you're at, and leave your phone at home. Don't put earbuds in your head. Just walk.
Unless you're listening to the biscuit, then listen to Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, that's exactly right. But people think they need to be fucking entertained all the goddamn time.
Yeah, man.
I don't do that because that's kind of hard. No shit.
Yeah.
Do you want to? I don't want a fucking painless life, man. If that's your fucking goal, you know, more power fucking to you. But you're not gonna have one worth the fuck.
Yeah.
And life is pain. Anything that I've ever fucking gotten or everything I've ever wanted that I had to earn and achieve hurt me. And I appreciate it more for that. And I'm not some sadistic, fucking masochistic dude. I may be.
Just borderline.
I don't think I am. But, the pain is what you have to push past to get where you want to go. The pain is the discomfort of getting up at 5:30 or going to the gym after a 16-hour shift. Or, you know, I can't remember where I read it, but it was awesome. I didn't copy because I didn't want to ever be accused of plagiarism because it's just too fucking perfect. But it was either a group of guys or one guy in particular, but he was writing about it. He's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about the trophy wife or trophy girlfriend that competes in bikini contests because she has got more hormones than her husband running through her, and she takes so many diuretics she never, you know, she could actually shit standing up. That pays for, you know, that has a $500 posing suit that does this. And this. He's like, you know what I give a fuck about? I give a fuck about the chick that's working a 16-hour shift to support three kids with fucking wearing Walmart tennis shoes, drinking Walmart meal replacement or protein shake after a workout, that goes there and gets fucking after it, that has to work an overtime shift to be able to get the good run. That's who the fuck I care about.
Yeah.
That's somebody that's there's a sacrifice there. There's a fucking hardship there. You know, that's what makes it impressive.
Yeah.
That's what made, you know, anybody can go to fucking gym, you know, especially if you don't have anything else to fucking do. You know, if I had somebody taking care of me, that's all I'd do is go to the fucking gym every day and increase my fucking market value. And then I'd trade up. You know?
That happens all the time, actually.
God damn it, why'd I have to be a dude?
Oh, yeah, dude, I'd be a great trophy wife, man.
Never, exactly.
Now, you had mentioned before that you teach...
Never a fucking want.
Yeah. You had mentioned before that you teach jiu-jitsu, and I know Hairless Ape has sponsored a few MMA fighters, too. Is that something you've always done, or was that during the military you picked up on? And that's something that's getting a lot of people now, too, because, like even Joe Rogan says, the nerd culture is getting into it, too, because it's something they can focus on and see results relatively quickly once you're in there rolling. Like, oh, you put this arm here, you roll this way, it does this, they tap out.
Exactly. I got a quick little to the nerd comment. I had a kid that was training with me. I'm teaching at my second school. I taught for my first coach, who will remain nameless. It's the full-on Kill Bill, you know, she never speaks his name kind of thing. That's where me and him are at. I had a gym with my coach and best friend Andy, and then we split under good terms. He's still my coach, but our gym was about 45 minutes away from my house, and they doubled our rent whenever we were going to re-sign our lease. So he stayed down there, and I built one up here. But one of my students from the first school, he helped pay for his college tuition for his undergrad. And I think he's helping fund his, it's either master's or he might even be in a doctorate program now, but, he helps fund his collegiate career by making YouTube videos with lasers in them that he builds out of like household goods and shit. Jesus. I mean, there's crystals and stuff he has to purchase, but,
wow.
And I can't remember what the name of the video is, but, get on YouTube sometime and, search laser shotgun. and his name is Drake Anthony, and he's a stud. But that's what he told me. He came to us as a blue belt from another school when he came down to his freshman year at Carbondale. And he was like, "Yeah, I love jiu-jitsu because it's a lot like math."
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, there's just all these different equations and problems and stuff." And he would just get him talking about it, and it's just like, holy shit. I mean, it's a totally different take on it than how I see it.
100%.
But I see it. You know what I mean? Those kids that are, you know, some people might call them, you know, we have a lot of kids that have been, you know, diagnosed with, you know, ADHD and ADD and ABCD and everything else,
yeah,
that are fine in jiu-jitsu, and it's a way for them to focus, way for them to calm down, the beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu is it's something that, you know, when you and I are training, I'm not just thinking about what I'm doing to you right now. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do to you in four or five or six moves.
Right.
So that really keeps an ADHD mind always thinking. They're spinning here. They're spinning here. They're spinning here. Spinning here. And it's all for the greater success.
The setup, the yeah.
Of the victory. Yeah. It's you know, this leads to this leads to this leads to this leads to gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I started the and that so that's great, and he's exactly right. Joe Rogan does a lot of awesome stuff. He had an 8-minute thing on just the average guy in a bar fight, you know, and how these guys, you know, chest up to each other, and how people just don't have any idea. You know, he goes, that guy could be a Muay Thai champ, or he could be a jiu-jitsu black belt.
Oh, you can't
take your fucking life.
You can't bar fight anymore. You cannot bar fight. I won't. The last time I was in an altercation at the bar, I went, man, this guy might know how to fucking kill me. Like, because you can't, there's jiu-jitsu guys that look like nothing, and they would fucking destroy you in a matter of moments. Before you knew what to do, before you were done talking shit, they'd have you on the ground.
Right. I think the bar fight scene now is now the physical manifestation of the keyboard war on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah,
because all it is generally two guys within about arm's reach, just sort of outside of arm's reach. Because in case anybody gets froggy, we won't actually hit each other.
It's just peacocking. Yeah,
for people to stop it.
Yep.
Exactly.
You'll go outside. You want to go outside? You want to go outside? Like, dude, I'll fuck you up in here. Let's shut the fuck up. Dude, I don't care.
Are you stretching out? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't have to go outside to kick your ass, dude. Let's shut the fuck up. I always tell my kids, I go, the person that ends up winning a fight is the one who doesn't say, hey, let's fight. It's the one that just does it. Next thing you know, you're getting fucking hit.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way because you know there's no rules in that.
No.
there's not going to be somebody. You can't count on somebody stopping it. Chances are, likely today, unless you're there with some good bros, nobody's going to stop it.
That's I heard this the other day somewhere.
And film your murder.
I heard this that's the new thing. No, people used to break up fights. Now it's scream world star and record it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're just like, fuck it, dude, record him.
Well, exactly.
It's funny you describe, you know, and humans are different. I mean, for example, my daughter, who's 5 years younger than my son, likes to wrestle. But she likes to wrestle for, like, the brutality and the violence of it. She likes that. And my son is like, ooh, I like grabbing. He likes the math part of it. He's into that part. Like the, ooh, if I do this to this, leverage there. I'm like, you know, both from the same blood and, you know, DNA. And they're just like, both like wrestling, but for two different reasons.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I'm the camp of your daughter.
Yeah, you would love her. She's
her and I are in the same tribe.
She's a brute, dude. She's the best, and we'll play like knee hockey, and she'll just be like fight and just start fighting. I'm like, yeah, you go, girl. I'm like, fuck them up, do it.
She's the best, man. Now, you've mentioned before, you guys have a what hockey teams near you where you've gone and you've seen a few fights there?
Well, I'm in the Midwest, the southern part. So it's always been, you know, the Blues.
Oh, okay.
And also, I was telling the story at work the other night. I was stationed at Fort Bragg, and I was on the B team for the post boxing team, and I had some buddies that were from Michigan, and they had a post hockey team. And so it consisted of guys that were from, you know, probably the youngest guy was 17, up to guys that are 38, pushing 40, that are, you know, master sergeants, E8s, that are probably getting ready to get out of the Army. And all of them are on this team together. They have a huge team. And it's a bunch of guys from Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, all the
hockey states.
Border states, basically.
Yeah.
All the hockey states that are New York, Maine, that just get out there and they just tear it up. These kids, these guys have been skating since they're five, you know, four, three,
yeah.
Pick yep. an age. But they had this, they would do exhibition games with colleges. And I, the best one I went to was, they did an exhibition game with Georgia Tech.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sitting in the stands after, oh my God, they just brutalized these poor kids. I mean, I'm not sure there might not still be lawsuits going on. I was like, I looked at my buddy and was like, I said, do you think Chad thought he was going to get this whenever he decided to have his dad buy his way on the hockey team?
Chad wasn't ready for that, man.
Some of these poor fucking. Yeah. You know, I got to see them in there thinking, after they're fixing their cardigans and shit that they're wearing over their polos. Yeah, we could. There's nobody on the hockey team really. We could totally buy our way into that. And just to be on a collegiate team, but they got their asses fucking mopped. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was the best day ever. I mean, there's guys, I mean, on probably eight different occasions where there are two skates in the air.
Oh, shit, dude.
Guys just getting their fucking clock clean, man.
Oh, shit.
it was the best. But yeah, it was one of the highlights of my stay at Fort Bragg was watching those kids just get brutalized.
Hell yeah, man. Well, that's a lot of the Biscuit listeners are, you know, fans of fighting and hockey, so they see that violence is a gift shirt, dude, and it just clicks in their brain. And, you know, it says we hit on the back. It's one of my favorite ones. I'm like, oh yeah, that's fucking perfect for the, like, at least the hockey crowd that I like to hang out with. But it leads me to, are you designing the shirts or do you have a team around you that, because I mean, they're not only are they comfortable, man, but the fucking shirt designs are sick. That one in particular is probably even my second favorite. The one with just the straight up, you know, the hairless ape on the front with it. That's, you can't beat that logo.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, we've got. I'm kind of the creative mastermind, but I am no artist. I've got a graphic designer named James that helps me bring this stuff to life.
Nice.
I'm the nerdy guy that always has. I've always got some sort of notebook with me and a pen, and I'll. I feel kind of weird if I don't, and I'll just jot down ideas and then just kind of keep looking at them, and then it'll morph into something. And I also have another partner, Alex, and she is kind of she's my sounding board as far as you know, what's good, what's bad. You know, everybody needs a no shit guy.
Yeah.
Because you can't have too many people that agree with you, because then you're going to do dumb shit. You know,
yep.
You're going to be walking to the bright naked, you know, thinking that you're in the coolest, you know, the emperor's naked, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody that's going to go, look, you can't, no. Yeah. and that's kind of who she is and the role she plays, which encompasses a lot of stuff. But she will be, she's one that she helps mine some of the, or all, almost all the images that we use on our IG account.
Yeah.
Is stuff that she comes up with, or stuff that we take ourselves. But yeah, the designs, they're from our collective mind, and the Primal Scream.
Yeah, that's the one
you're talking about. That's yeah. actually based off of. Yeah, his name was Mongo, and he was in the Philadelphia Zoo, I believe. But hairless apes, they have what people get. They have alopecia, and because of this alopecia, they have hardly any hair on their bodies. And if you see one that's made it to adulthood, it's kind of the full on boy named Sue type thing, you know. They're different than everybody else, so they have had to fight their entire fucking life. And Mongo, his father's name was Jumbo, and there's a video online of them two getting after it.
Really?
And I saw that about, I'll send you a link to it.
Yeah,
I saw it about 4 or 5 years ago, and that's kind of where. The conspiracy kind of started, you know, in my mind, I guess. And then I just had a bunch of stuff that I wrote down over the last couple, you know, decades that I kept. I never threw away. And I figured instead of starting a house fire with it, I would try and do something with it and put it out there.
Well, it's, I always feel like
I
fucking...
all this shit diesel and just...
Dude, I'm the same way. I keep a pocket-sized piece of paper. Every week I start it on Monday, and then come the weekend when I start to record the podcast, I use it, but all it is notes. So I'll be like, I don't know, walking with my kids, and I'll stop and start writing something down, and people are like, what the fuck is that guy? I just thought of something, and I don't want to forget it.
Right.
So, I mean, I've got little, like, serial killer pieces of paper all around my studio, these, like... These creepy notebooks, dude. Like, when I die, people are going to come into this studio and go, what the fuck was wrong with this guy?
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, shit, don't touch anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this and my notes don't make any sense except to me, because it'll just be, like, one word with, like, a stick figure next to it, and, like, that makes sense to me. I'm like, it's that same thing. I'm right. Like, well, I don't like typing things into my phone. Because I'm always afraid it's not going to work. And like I said, I have a flip phone, so it's like that. It takes me longer. I could just write it down on a piece of paper.
Well, the other thing is it's, you know, the different modalities of learning and memory. You know, you can think about it, you can say it, you can hear it, you can write it. But when you think it and then maybe you say it out loud and then you write it down.
Yeah.
You're getting three different, you know, you're getting three different inputs there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's writing shit down and notes and notebooks and note-taking. I'm sure people look at me like I'm ridiculous. And I'll be sitting at the desk and rifling through this notebook and rifling through that notebook, because I'm not smart enough to just carry one. So
why would you?
Put stuff all over the place. Then I look like the rabbit off Alice in Wonderland, fucking scurrying around trying to find shit.
Yeah, but, man. And
It's important to I have to do that for me, you know, not only to remember it, but, you know, I don't want to let anything get away, because, you know, I don't know if I'll ever have that thought again, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I'm very in tune to, like, where I'm at, and a lot of things, you know, I'm very sensory oriented, I guess. So I'll smell something or see something, it'll spark a memory. And if I don't write it down, it may never happen again. You know, it might be lost to my gray matter that's, you know, ever deteriorating. But
I do
the exact same thing.
I have a terrible, terrible, terrible memory from maybe partying too hard when I was younger, maybe some concussions from sports and all that, car accidents. But I mean, I'll think of something and forget it
10 minutes later. So I have to write it down. And, you know, the internet came out when I was in high school. So it was like, I've always just written stuff down. So it was like, just what I did. So I just continued to do it. Like, right. I play in a death metal band. So I write lyrics and I'm like, well, I like to see my handwriting. It does something. Maybe it makes me enjoy it more. Right. It makes me feel like I'm doing something. Maybe.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way when I write blog posts. I can't type them out. I have to write them out, and then I'll read through them out loud, and then I'll put, oh, that sounds stupid, or I could put this in there. You know what I mean? I'll edit myself 3 or 4 times before I send it to the person that edits me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and those blog posts are always really good, man. I appreciate the work you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I hate to correct you, but you're definitely an artist, man. You're a conceptual artist for sure. Whether or not you're making them yourself, I mean, the ideas you're coming up with for these graphics are fucking sick, man.
I appreciate it. I'm really excited about the
The next two. We got the new line.
The continuation of the Violence is a Gift, and you know, yeah, the one about the conflict is a necessity. That the emblem off of that is a war emblem that was started in Vietnam. It was either SF guys or like LERPs or airborne guys that started it, but it went through the whole community of SF and long range and airborne guys. And it was a big, and I'm actually bidding on one on eBay as we speak.
Oh, nice!
It's made of brass, and it was hammered out. The ring around it was hammered out, and it looks just so awesome, and it's so cool to be able to use that and kind of pay tribute to those dudes, because yeah. Those are the guys that I read about when I was in grade school. They're the reason that I wanted to. You know, that I wanted to be a Ranger and that I wanted to serve my country and be able to kind of put that out there. And I think we're going to do some treatment on it's probably going to look a little brass. It's probably going to stand out a little bit from the shirt, but yeah, I'm super excited about
it. Oh, wow. That'll be really cool. Kind of like almost gold on there a little bit.
Yeah.
Dude, that'll be sick.
So, yeah. It'll look pretty.
I was wondering what that war emblem meant. So I'm glad you explained that. I was wondering what that meant. I like the idea of that shirt too, because just simply the word war on a shirt is going to offend people. Like, that's how soft it is. Like,
right.
So I'm like, man.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to be able to wear that shirt and people are going to be like, oh, fuck this guy. This is very aggressive. Like, this is, I don't feel safe next to you. Yeah, like, oh, dude, I was at Niagara Falls and I had like Eruditus fuck on the back of my shirt or Evolution is Overrated. You could tell people were like, what do you mean? What is Hairless Ape Conspiracy? Like, they were like, and it's like, you know, a bunch of tourists there. And, you know, I mean, I was as well. But these people were like, what the fuck is this guy wearing? And I was like, oh, this is great. These shirts are awesome.
Yeah, it's I still have the sticky note that I wrote those on, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And, I appreciate that. I appreciate you wearing them. And, I'm glad that we got them to you. I'm glad that you're proud of them. And I'm glad that you're, you know, people need to be uncomfortable.
Hell
you know,
yeah,
and
dude.
If I just remember, you know, I was, I don't know, 5 or 6, I guess. You know, we always used to say that stupid little nursery rhyme, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There's no fucking word in the English language that can hurt you.
No.
You're being hurt by words is something that's in your fucking body, not the guy or the chick saying it. You know, harden the fuck up. Don't be a goddamn coward and don't be a fucking pussy. Who gives a fuck? If these people are saying shit about you,
You probably don't give a fuck about them, so why does it matter what they think?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. And you have options either.
The only person that's going to get to me with words.
It's weak-minded. You're weak-minded.
Yeah. You're weak-minded, and everybody wants to be a goddamn victim fucking more. I don't know when victimhood became so fucking sexy or popular.
Just recently, whatever. Man, but it's out of control.
Yeah. It's gone off the goddamn deep end. You know, handle your shit, harden the fuck up, and just live your fucking life. Let everybody, and just because we have, the art of amicable discourse in this country is fucking dead. You know, most fucking people, if you don't agree with them, you're a fucking devil. You're fucking the worst thing in the fucking world. We don't have to see eye to eye on everything.
No,
but
no.
If we have more in common than we don't, then that's a good thing. And you can have your opinion, and I can have mine, and we can get along. When we don't get along is whenever you tell me I can't feel a certain way or I can't do something because you don't fucking want me to. That's when I'm going to break your fucking spine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not going to let somebody boss or bully me and that's the world we live in is just so goddamn. It's just so fucking weak.
That's where
Hairless Ape came from. You know,
absolutely.
Just a couple of decades of being around them. You know, I think it was one of the last Instagram posts we had with the sheep or the wolf. Actually, I believe that's some sort of Kangol dog.
With the sheep on his head?
That's wearing basically the sheepskin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of, you could read that, and that's basically, how I felt for the last 20 some years, and I felt it as soon as I left service. And then it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And I just see America just becoming these soft, white underbelly fucking pussies that just can't take anything. Meanwhile, in fucking Russia, Belarus, all the former Soviet countries, they still teach them how to field strip and operate a fucking AK-47 in fucking gym class. They still do that. And there's you can get on you can YouTube, Russian gym class AK-47, and they'll be doing 100 fucking burpees, and then they'll get in line, boy girl boy girl boy girl, and they will go up to a fucking table. They'll have tables set up, and they'll fucking take apart. And leave it there. And then the next one steps up, puts it back together. Does a function check, puts it down. Next one steps up, takes it apart.
Well, I mean, look at Habib in his last fight, dude. He told me, he's like, I'm going to break your face. I'm going to fucking kill you. You called out my country and my religion. And he meant it, man. And he showed it after the fight when he hopped over the cage. He wasn't talking shit. He meant what the fuck he said.
No.
And that's...
You know why? Because in his fucking country... That's people do that.
Yeah.
If you say it, you better be able to fucking act on it. It's not whenever he was talking about, I'm going to do this, this, and this to you, he wasn't trying to get the ratings up.
No.
He didn't give a fuck about Dana White's fucking ratings or the money he was putting in his fucking pocket.
Nope.
If you're talking to somebody that's got Stan at the last part of the country they fucking come from, you better watch what the fuck you say.
Yep.
You just better, because they don't operate like us. We are soft fuckers in this country that think they can say whatever the fuck they want to say without any repercussions because, I'm going to get my lawyer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know what? If you're dead, motherfucker, nobody's going to get a lawyer.
Right.
They'll probably go to jail, but you're not going to be able to, and that's
the
the weakness in this country is just astonishing. I'm Habib is the fucking man, and the fact that he.
You know who's coming for him, though, that, bud.
People are like, that's... Oh, yeah.
Ben Askren's coming to take that fucking crown right off his fucking head, man. You watch, dude. I know you're a goddamn American. I'm a goddamn American. I hope Ben Askren rubs his fucking Russian face all over that fucking octagon.
I am a child of the Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
The real one, the good one, with Swayze.
Fucking hating Russians. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I spent my whole childhood fucking praying for parachutes in the air. I ain't shit yet. I mean, I wanted to be in the fucking woods with a fucking battlefield pickup AK fucking killing goddamn commies. That's what I wanted to do. You know, I read Charlie Rangers. I read, the men with black faces or the men with green faces. You know, I read all those books when I was in high school, in grade school, high school. You know, I did a comparison contrast speech in eighth grade about the difference between a terrorist and a mercenary.
Jeez.
And I brought in about 13 issues of Soldier of Fortune magazine and passed them out through the class.
Damn, dude.
Soldier of Fortune was real when you could actually hire a Soldier of Fortune on the back of it.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my train of thought completely.
Well, hey, Sam, right there, that's why we love you here at the Biscuit, and that's why the relationship between the Biscuit and Hairless Ape is perfect, man. It's enough of the pussy shit, man. It's gotta end. And that's just the way I think about it. Now, I wanted to ask you, since it is called Hairless Ape Conspiracy, one, if you have any, like, if you think about conspiracies, and if you have a favorite one, what would it be?
I think probably the Kennedy.
Yeah. Right.
Assassination.
Right. I mean, that one's like, that one's nuts.
Yeah. I honestly think it was just all money. I think, and people, you know, well, his dad, you know, Kennedy's father paid these guys off. And dude, that happens. It's happened since the dawn of time.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in fucking politics, you're probably crooked. And it's just gotten to a point now where it's just over the top. I mean, you know, Illinois' governor tried to sell a fucking Senate seat, for fuck's sake, and got caught.
God, dude. You know? I think...
got caught fucking doing it.
I think Kennedy, when he said he was going to shut down the... Federal Reserve, they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to get this fucking guy out of here.
Yeah.
He's got to go. And then they're like, oh, we're going to do the Gulf of Tonkin and start a war. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I got no problem stretching the fucking muscle, but if you guys are going to start fucking, you know, just sending the boys for no good goddamn reason, like, I'm going to put my foot down. They're like, well, you know, actually, we're just going to kill you.
Yeah. The good goddamn reason was all of the fucking, the military... industrial complex getting all that money from all the contracts we're doing in Vietnam.
Yep.
Who, and if you look back, Lady Bird Johnson, the then vice president's wife, was a huge investor in, I'm not sure if it's Brown and Root or KBR. I get those two confused, but I think one is a subsidiary company of the other. But yeah, she was one of the main investors and stood to gain the most from Vietnam. I mean, that was really the start, I think, of the military industrial complex.
For sure.
Kind of running.
And isn't there something weird about the dude that shot Lee Harvey Oswald worked for the FBI or something?
America. I'm sure that I'm wrong with that. It could have been World War II into World War I, who knows, but I think that's when it became the most obvious.
Yeah.
And you know, we went from going to pull our boys out of Vietnam to 2 months later, after Kennedy's assassinated and Lyndon Johnson becomes president, to a full commitment to the people of South Vietnam. You know, that's kind of a big pendulum swing.
Big swing, dude. Big
two
swing.
Months and after the burial of the president.
Yeah, it's... Are you there, Sam? Sam, well, how weird is that? We start talking about Vietnam and the fucking internet cuts out. Dude, what the fuck? Come on now. That couldn't be any more fucking perfect. Holy shit. That's fucking wild, dude. Now I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to be pulling a couple. Not sleeping with one gun tonight. I'm going to sleep with a couple. Dude, that's fucking crazy, man.
But yeah, so that's my favorite. favorite conspiracy.
Now, this is going to be my new favorite conspiracy is this episode, dude. Hey, Sam, I really appreciate your time, man. I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate the time. I know you're a busy guy, and I know you're, you know, not only running a t-shirt company, writing blogs, and advising people, but a, you know, working in the, what would it be, the, I guess the police force, I would suppose, I'd say?
Yeah, it's a Department of Corrections.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're a state agency that we handle anything that's not a federal crime. We lock those guys up.
Okay. And again, man, I love being able to help you guys out, and you know, I'd absolutely love the product you're putting out, man, and I appreciate you guys over there at Hairless Ape Conspiracy. And I'm glad we got time to do this, and you know, put a voice to the shirts where the people, because I know everybody knows about Hairless Ape, but everybody's going, well, who's running this shit?
Right. I appreciate it too, and thanks for all your help, and you know the pictures that you send, we absolutely love those, and just thanks for helping us get the word out, and you know,
happy
thanks for fucking seeing the value in this. You know, thanks for seeing that, and thanks for being one of the good guys as far as realizing, you know, what, you know, what's wrong.
Yeah.
So many people just turn a blind eye. They don't give a fuck, or they don't care, or, you know, it's not my business, or whatever. Or they're scared to fucking say their goddamn opinion,
because yeah,
it might fucking offend somebody.
Yeah.
Let's
fuck that.
Live offended. Let's fucking change that shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks.
No, I sure don't either, man. And, you know, it makes it even more special to my heart that the company is veteran known and veteran operated. My grandpa is a veteran. My dad, you know, multiple cousins. My brother served in Iraq. He actually bought himself the Screaming Ape shirt. He saw that and goes, what the fuck is that? I'm like, dude, this is a new biscuit sponsor, dude. How sick are these? He goes, let me have that. I'm like, fuck you, buy your own, dude. I was like, I can give you a fucking
podcast.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what'd you do for me? Just go to war? And I was like, that's the kind of dick I am. So it's like, I can get you 10% off. Here's the promo code, dude. Biscuit10. No, he's a good dude. That's awesome. He loves the shirts, and I know we're getting a lot of hits and stuff on the, like you said, the Instagram posts. People love those, especially the ones from Buffalo with the I had the Brad May card with me going Mayday, and people thought that was fucking hilarious. So, Sam, I appreciate it, man.
Awesome.
And where can every where can the Biscuit Babies find you at? What's all the social media stuff?
We are Instagram is Hairless Ape Conspiracy, and our website is Hairless Ape INC, like incorporated, .com.
Go there, guys. Check it out. Sam, I appreciate you, man. You have a good day.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Thank you.
How many fucks do I give? How many fucks do I give?